Welcome to the Elijah Rising podcast. Elijah Rising is an organization empowering women recovering from sexual exploitation. This episode is going to help you become more aware about the issue of sex trafficking and inspire you to take action.
Welcome back to the Elijah Rising podcast. I'm your host, Micah Gamboa. And today I'm joined by a very special guest. We have Frankie Mazapika with us. You may remember him from a few episodes back where he shared about his previous book. Today we're going to talk about your second book, which is really exciting. How about before we do that, you introduce yourself to our listeners?
All right. Well, I pastor a church in the Woodlands, Texas. It's called Celebration Church. And, I love my wife. I've got three kids. I've got two dogs that annoy me. I've known you guys now for about 5 years.
Yeah, it's incredible. Time
I know, flies. I know. I can't believe I remember when your baby was like 6 months old, 3 months old. And I remember when I met you guys. I was sitting in my kitchen. This is what led to our discussion, or led to me calling you guys to meet you guys. Mm-hmm. I was in my kitchen. I was having lunch, and my laptop was open. Mm-hmm. And my splash page, is that what you call it?
Sounds good.
It's the first, yeah, it sounds good. So when I open up and I get online, Fox News pops up. And so right on the, like, I didn't even have to scroll down. It says, Elijah Rising stops Canadian company from coming to Houston to open up a robot sex brothel.
Yeah, which is perfect timing that we're doing this episode, because our previous episodes, we actually revisit that. It's
Shut
our
up.
5 year anniversary.
Oh my goodness.
And so we had to re-explain, like, I'm sorry, what? What are we talking about?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, when I read it, I'm sitting there eating lunch at the counter in my kitchen, and I read that, and I'm like, what in the world?
Right. Yes.
And so I'm looking at it, and I didn't know anything about Elijah Rising. And so I'm looking at Elijah Rising, like the link where I could click on the link. And just the title of the article was alarming, but I was so curious because I've never heard of anything like that in my life. And so, like, my hand kind of hovered over the mouse because I don't know where this is going to take me, So I click on Elijah Rising, and first I read the article, and I'm like, how in the world did you guys stop this? Mm-hmm. Like, it got the White House's attention. Mm-hmm. It was insane. Like, I've never heard. And then I click on it, and I had an idea. I was like, maybe they're a Christian because Elijah Rising.
Sure.
And so then I start reading about you guys, and I'm like, these people are in Houston. They're at the tip of the spear on stopping sex trafficking. Mm. And then, like, regularly, you guys are going into brothels trying to get these victims freed. And so that's when I called you guys up. I was like, okay, I got to meet you guys. And I had one primary motivation, to bring you guys to our church and just raise as much money as we could and give it to you guys. And we've been partners for 5 years now, you know? And so it's been an awesome, awesome partnership. Like, our church family loves, like, they get excited about the opportunities to give. I mean, it's been a fun relationship.
It really has. And from our end as well, I mean, we've really enjoyed not just getting to know you, Frankie, but also your team, your attendees. You know, they've really rallied around not just Elijah Rising, but that kind of anti-trafficking focus as a whole.
Yeah.
But there are other focuses that your church really carries, embodies, that I would say you lead the way in, that are so important, not just for the Christian community at large, but for anti-trafficking specifically. And your previous book was kind of all centered around the power of God.
Right.
Do you want to just touch on that real quick?
Yes. The title was Your Divine Invitation, Access the Holy Spirit to Complete Your Assignment. And, you know, that book will always be dear to my heart, because that was, I basically write about the journey that I took to go from just praying and hoping that people would be healed to actually seeing people healed.
Yeah, wow.
And so now when I pray for people to get healed at our church, people get healed every single Sunday.
Yeah.
Now, not everyone we pray for gets healed, but it is not uncommon for deaf ears to open, blind eyes to open. Our prayer partners experience the exact same thing. And so in that book, I just walk people through a very practical journey, because I used to look at these ministers or even people who were just in the congregation, and I've always looked at them and I thought, you're picked. Right? You're picked to pray for people and see miracles and see healing. I didn't realize that you could volunteer for that.
Wow. Right? Yeah, that's such a good way to put it.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that you could do that. And so I just said, okay, God, use me as an example of a person who's not seeing any of these things happen. And then now I'm seeing them happen so I could tell other people about it. You know, use me as an example. And that, that very thing happened. And that's why I wrote the book. Because, again, I would say, just tell me exactly what to do, God. Like, give me the one, two, three steps. Even if there's 42 steps, like, I'll take each step serious. But nobody ever told me what they were. And so I kind of had to discover that on my own. But it's so duplicatable, you know, because it's all scriptural.
I love that.
Yeah, it was a fun book to write.
Yeah, and the first one, now you've written a second.
Right.
Which we're here to unpack a little bit. And I'm really excited to host you today because, you know, we have such a common thread, common theme, kind of, I don't know, our backgrounds are the same. Meaning that, so your next book is called Ignite Your Life.
Right.
14 things that happen when you pray. And so it's all centered around this theme that of prayer being integral to the Christian walk and developing your life in Christ and what happens when you do that. So do you want to introduce our listeners to that kind of second?
I do. So when the journey began in 2018, when I wrote the first book. And what I started realizing is while I was praying, saying, okay, God, make me an example of a person who's not experiencing any healings or miracles, I started noticing that as I was praying, other things started happening that were phenomenal. And so then I started praying, you know, I'd set my alarm on my phone. Like, I'm not coming out of this prayer room until, which was usually my bedroom or a room at the office. I'm not coming out until the alarm goes off. And it started off at 30 minutes. And, you know, I don't like talking about it because it's so personal to me. But just to make my point, you know, it's very easy for me to pray 2 hours now. And it just kind of worked up 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour. But I started seeing all these other things happen. And then I realized, oh my goodness, like, for example, in the book, I talk about 14 things that happen when you pray. But one of them is battles that we're facing. They are won or lost depending on whether or not we're praying. In Psalms 56:9, it says, every day you call for help, the tide of the battle turns. And so to back up and say, okay, I'm in the middle of a battle.
Yeah.
And if I pray, I'll win.
Amen.
If I don't, I won't.
Yeah.
You know, it's that simple because Let me think. What's that scripture? 2 Corinthians 10:9, where it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Mm-hmm. You know, so carnal means anything that you can do on your own.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Mm-hmm. So battles are won or lost depending on whether or not we pray. And yeah. I think that's the first or second chapter. Mm-hmm. But then I came across another verse, and this is another chapter, where I realized that seasons shift when we pray.
Yeah.
And so for me, I've been in so many seasons where I'm like, God, I'm tired of being in this spot.
Sure.
Like, I want to be closer to you. Mm-hmm. And I realize I'm always going to have problems while I'm on earth, but I want different problems, right? Like I'm done with this.
Yeah.
And in Daniel 2:21, it says, it was such a breath of fresh air for me. Because it says, and God changes the times and the seasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously that includes, winter, spring, summer, fall. I mean, obviously it includes that. Mm-hmm. But it means much more than that. Mm-hmm. He's saying, I change the seasons. In other words, he looks at us and says, okay, you've been in this season long enough. Mm-hmm. In every season we have, prepares us for the next season. Mm-hmm. And you're ready now.
Yeah.
You're equipped. You're ready. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the next season. Mm-hmm. But these shifts of seasons, they come through prayer. So if you're not praying, you can get stuck in a season way longer than what you should be. Mm. You know, the story about the children of Israel wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. You know, the examples go on and on. Mm-hmm. But for those who pray, the seasons change.
Yeah.
I'll just share one more just for the sake of time. But when you pray, you're able to impact the lives of those who are not even praying for themselves.
So
you
know, good.
And so when you have a friend, you have a loved one, and they just seem to be in a rough patch or off the rails, so to speak, and you're like, oh God, like they're not even acknowledging you. I don't even know if they have help or hope, because if you're not in their life, I know they have no hope. Mm-hmm. But in Mark chapter 9, this father brought his son who was possessed with the devil. Mm-hmm. And he asked Jesus for help.
Yeah.
You know, so essentially he was praying. Mm-hmm. He came to the Lord. He prayed.
Yeah.
And we know the end of the story where the young boy was delivered. Mm-hmm. Well, the boy didn't come to Jesus. The boy didn't talk to Jesus. The boy didn't ask for help. It was the father who did. Mm. And the Lord honored his prayers. Another example, Lazarus was dead.
Right.
He could not ask, right? Yeah. He was dead. Dead people can't pray. Yeah. He's wrapped up in a tomb. Mm-hmm. It was Mary and Martha that came to Jesus and put their request at his feet and prayed.
Yeah.
And consequently, Lazarus came back to life. Mm-hmm. And so you take these stories and you look at a mother and you say, hey, if you have a son or a daughter that is just breaking your heart, your prayers are so powerful that it can impact their life. Mm-hmm. And Paul was in prison and he was cold. He had no coat. He talks about that. He was essentially down and depressed. Mm-hmm. And in 1 Corinthians, no, it's not 1 Corinthians, let me think. Yeah, it was 2 Corinthians 1:11. He says this, he goes, you helped me when you prayed for me.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? And so, why did he need help?
He was in the prison. He was stuck. He couldn't, yeah.
His hope was being drained.
Yeah.
And so at some point, and I like to kind of dive into that, like, when did he know he was getting help?
He could feel strengthened. Yeah, his spirit was more buoyant, if
exactly.
you will.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He just started noticing, wait a minute here, I'm not as down as I'm not as depressed. I'm not as weak. I feel like I'm getting stronger. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, well, how could this? Oh, you guys are praying for mm-hmm. me, you know? And so I just believe that if people know exactly what's happening while they're praying,
sure,
that knowing doing gap will mm-hmm. be closed, right? They know they need to.
Sure. We all are like, yes, we understand that prayer is important.
I know I need to, but to actually do it,
right.
it's very difficult. Yeah. But when you know what's happening, mm-hmm. okay, now there's some fire in the prayers.
Yeah, I love that. So I say we're similar in that way because we so value prayer. We keep it as one of our four pillars. So Elijah Rising started as a prayer meeting, and that was all we did for like a year, probably more. And so we tried to keep that as part of the foundation, but there's always more. You know, you're never like, oh, well, I've arrived at the prayer summit, you know,
I am now
a superior prayer person. Like, there's no such thing as that.
No.
Because Paul, I think it's Paul, he's like, you need to be praying continually.
Yes.
Like there's never an end. It's always a constant communication back and forth. And there's another book that I reference sometimes, but he talks about it just being like this communion with the Lord. Like it's not like... There are times when we close into our room and we shut the door and we do it in private and it's, you know, focused, intense, intentional. But then there's other times where you're like, hey, this is a breath prayer. I'm in my car. Like I'm constantly communing with the Father.
Yeah. What did you just say? In my car?
It's just like a breath prayer. They talk about
that phrase. Like a breath prayer.
Like God help me, you know, or whatever. Like you are acknowledging. It takes a form of... A measure of humility.
Yeah.
To say like, man, God, I need you. I can't do it on my own.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. It's funny you would say that because Smith Wigglesworth said, short prayers are powerful prayers. Mm.
Amen. I love that.
Isn't that great?
And he's like the king of prayer.
Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. Short prayers are powerful prayers, you know? And some people say, I can't pray very long. Can you say a sentence?
Yeah.
Because that sentence is really, really powerful.
Yeah. And I think to your point, just start.
Yeah.
Right. You start with 10 minutes a day, and through the faithfulness, the diligence, the discipline, the perseverance, like it's like a muscle.
Yeah.
You grew it.
Yes.
And it's, again, it's not like a performance. It's not like I'm earning God's favor. You're just communing with the Father. There's another woman who I love. She says, to pray is to just open yourself up to the holy, you know? If we think of it in that way of like, we're just opening ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, to the Father, and letting Him do the work.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. I was talking to somebody recently and they said, I just don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know what to do. And
sure.
I said, you know what? God knew that we would struggle there, mm-hmm. right? And so He made it crystal clear what to do when we're trying to pray, when we're in there. And it's in Philippians 4:6 where He says, pray about everything and then thank Him for everything He's done.
Mm.
And so when we're praying, it's that continual cycle
mm-hmm.
where you're praying about every worry, every concern,
yeah.
everything you need, right? The people that say, I don't want to pray because I'm always asking for things. He's asked, like, if it's on your mind, pray about everything. And the cool thing about that word everything is it means everything.
Yeah. Right? He cares about every detail of our lives. That's
right.
What the Bible
says. And
he
wants to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And so there's this cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You pray about everything, and then you praise Him for what He's done.
So good.
You pray about everything. You praise Him for what He's done.
So good.
And your entire prayer time is just over that and praising Him for what He's done. I mean, I've been walking around in my house and saying, God, thank you for this carpet,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, I've been in homes, if you want to call them that, in the barrios in different countries, and it's all dirt, right? Pray for the simplest things.
Mm-hmm.
And as you pray for simple things, more things will come to your mind.
I love
you know, thank you that I'm not in the hospital right now.
Yeah.
Thank you that my children aren't in the hospital. Thank you that I'm still married, right? or whatever,
right.
You know, whatever comes to your mind. So you praise and then you pray about whatever's on your mind.
It's good.
You praise and you just go back and forth, back and forth, back
really
and forth.
It's really good. And it's so important, I would say. We see such a performance culture. I mean, we're in America, for goodness sake.
Right.
You know, it's so ingrained into everything. Hyper-productivity, performance. It's this drivenness of the world, really, the world, the flesh, and the devil, that like pushes. It's constantly pushing. So you're feeling this pressure, and the only way to really relieve that pressure is to surrender to the Father.
Right.
You know, and the only way you can do that is to cast all of your cares on the only one, the only burden bearer, which is Jesus.
Yeah.
And it says like he daily bears our burdens.
Yes.
And so in this, I mean, I know it's the same as a pastor. You're carrying so much with the cares of your church, your family, the finances of everything, trying to keep all the wheels spinning.
Yes.
And we feel the same thing, you know, anti-trafficking. Yes. You feel a lot of pressure to see these women recover and healed and reached. You always want to do more.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But the only solution, the only one who is able to carry that amount of pressure is Christ.
Well, if the problem is too big for you, it's you're not the one that's supposed to solve it.
Yeah.
Right? And so when you and your team are looking at victims that are being abused on it, I mean, it's the modern day slavery. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we knew the life that they're living, I mean, I think all of us would just quit our jobs and just join Elijah Rising, right? But there's a part of us, and I'm just speaking for myself, I know that it would just ruin my life to know. And so it's kind of like, thank you, Elijah Rising, because I can support you guys in what you're doing. I can pray and know that you guys are the tip of the spear. And for those of us who partner, when we're in heaven, we'll get to reap the same reward as you.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, we need you and you need us. And
absolutely.
So, you know, and but then further, you know, I like to say everyone has tremendous burdens.
Yes.
Even though they look different.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
For one person, they're just praying to God they stay out of the hospital. My wife has said it before because she got really, really sick for about 9 months. She couldn't get out of the bed. And she said, if you have your health, you have an awesome life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know you can talk about that
too.
Yeah. And so, you know, all of our burdens are different, but they're equally as heavy.
Yeah. Oh no, totally agree.
You know.
You know, and we've been
to get out of that, how are you going to get out of that? If you could change it, you would.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so to say, okay, like when I pray, the tide of my battle turns.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a powerful thing.
We as believers have the authority. It doesn't necessarily mean that, okay, we prayed once and it's automatically going to be fixed. Sometimes, yes,
right?
That does happen.
Right.
But we also see persevering prayer, travailing prayer, fervent, you know, effective prayer of the righteous in the scriptures. And we see men and women who throughout history prayed for days, weeks, months, years to see something accomplished because there's a struggle in the heavenlies, right? That we are interacting with.
There's a battle. Yeah. Yeah. I love talking with you, Micah, because you're as passionate about prayer as anyone I've ever met. But, and I know we got to concentrate on the time, but I really got to say this. You know, sometimes our battle shifts and the whole season changes in a second.
Yeah.
I can't even count how many people I've seen healed in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, sometimes the season, even though the battle is shifting, it needs to shift moment by moment, day by day before that victory comes.
Yeah.
But there's two things you get every single time you pray immediately. And it's in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says, when you pray, let's go to the throne of grace with boldness, because when you pray, you will always receive mercy and grace.
So good.
Every single time.
So good.
And so mercy says, hey, look, I remember that you're made from dust.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking at you with angry eyes. I'm looking at you with loving eyes. Mm. My mercy, my love endures forever. So you receive mercy every time.
Mm.
And then you receive grace every single time. And what grace does is it makes you strong where you're weak.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you get that every single time. And so if the battle shifts in, well, the battle's always shifting every time you pray. But if the battle lasts a while, you always have the grace to get through that. Mm-hmm. But if you're not praying, no grace. Good luck. Lower your expectations. You might be there a while.
Yeah. Yeah, it might crush you in the process.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I know we could share so many stories about just the practicality of what that looks like.
Yes.
Can you share with our listeners maybe one testimony where you've seen, hey, this has been a lesson that you maybe you put in the book or something throughout your life of the power or the efficacy where prayer made a difference and you know for a fact, like, if I didn't pray, that wouldn't have happened.
Yes. Yes. I'll use a personal one. My wife, for whatever reason, helped me with this. I can't believe I'm drawing a blank here. Vertigo.
Mm.
Vertigo. Mm-hmm. She was having vertigo like crazy. And for people who have had vertigo, you know, it's debilitating.
Yeah.
And going to a doctor, it's like, you know, they're grasping for straws. Try this, try that. But she was in bed for months, you know, should hold the wall to get to the kitchen. I mean, it was terrible. It got to the point where our kids weren't even expecting her to be standing up when they got home from school. You know, I'm dropping them off from school. I'm picking them up. Like, it was just terrible. And then I remember walking into my office, and in Psalms 5:3, it says, every morning I wake up, I'm going to lay the pieces of my life on the altar, and I'm going to wait for the fire to fall.
Hmm.
And so I would go into my office, and I would close my eyes, and I would say, I'm coming to your throne right now.
Yeah.
And I would visualize, to the best of my ability,
sure,
being at his throne and coming before my king. And I would say, sometimes you're my father, sometimes you're my savior, but right now I need you to be my king. And I'm coming before you, and I'm asking you to heal my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you. And I did that over and over again. No doctors, they had no answers, you know. They had no medication, you know. It's not like that. She can go on a Garden of Eden fast, like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember I just came home one day, and she was up. She was walking around, and she got stronger and stronger. And I know that had I not prayed, that would not have happened.
Yeah.
That would not have happened. And so, you know, in the book, I cite a lot of different examples.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just know. I know in my heart, because it's happened to me, that when you know the 14 things, and there's more, but, you know, my hand was cramping while I was writing, so to speak, you know. But when you know what's happening, you just pray more, and to go back to the title of the book, it really does ignite your life.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And we need it in anti-trafficking, right? We need the power of God, the grace of God. We need to be sustained. We need hope. Like, there are survivors who speak out now, who are leaders, who have come out, and they're like, you know, therapy, community, all of those things I needed, but really the most effective transformational moments have been with my times with Jesus.
Yes.
He is the healer. He is the restorer. And so we as believers, whether you're in anti-trafficking or not, still working with humanity who is broken. We are all so in need,
right?
And so we need that infusion of grace and mercy like you're talking about. And if it's as simple as like, okay, let's figure out how to pray, you know? Like,
and see, that's what I love. I love every facet of Elijah Rising, but when you guys rescue a young lady, I mean, within that same day, you guys are introducing Jesus in that same day. Mm-hmm. And you recognize that, okay, they have been through things that are so bad, they may never even tell us.
Yeah, right.
And for them to be healed and made whole, that's not something that can happen any other way than calling on the Lord. So you guys start praying for these girls immediately. Mm-hmm. And that's why you guys are seeing the fruit that you're seeing in this ministry. I mean, it's powerful. It truly, truly is.
And let there be more. We need the church to arise.
Right.
We need intercessors.
You know, the church is the hope of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And we get a lot of questions like, well, why is Houston so bad about trafficking? I'm like, well, honestly, it's a heart of man issue, humanity issue,
right?
If the and I really believe that if the church, putting myself in this bucket, you know, if we were taking our place on the wall of intercession, crying out for the Lord's like power, revival, repentance, transformation to come, collectively,
yes,
I think we would be in a very different position.
Oh my goodness, but you know, our power is reliant on our prayer life. Mm. And so, would we be in a different position? Absolutely, because our victories would be more often.
Yeah,
and they'd be more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
100%.
So, one more takeaway that you want our listeners to have before we wrap up. Is there anything we haven't covered that you really feel like, man, this is really important? I want them to know.
You know, I think that the last thing that I would want to say is, and this is one of the chapters in the book too, that prayer changes the trajectory of your life. You know, I had a birthday a few years ago, and I thought to myself, if I extrapolate, how may I say that
word?
Yeah,
extrapolate.
Yeah, thank you. I speak for a living, but you know, I can't say words. But anyway, I started thinking, if my life stays at the same pace as it is right now, 15 years from now, I'm going to see moderate changes, you know, incremental change. That's a better word, incremental changes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, am I going to be happy, you know, at that point? And, you know, it was very depressing. It was very, very depressing. Mm. And so I said, I need my trajectory to change. I need it to be higher. I need it to be sharper. And what I mean by that is the closeness that I have with the Lord has got to be, it's got to be closer.
Mm-hmm.
I want my my impact when I talk with people. In Charles Finn, and I talk about him in the book, how just someone's countenance, just the light in their eyes can cause someone to feel convicted of their sin. And so this can happen with anyone. And so I really started praying, and I started noticing new doors opening, you know, new relationships. When God opens up doors for you, it's not because we display this tremendous amount of strength.
Mm-hmm.
In Revelation 3:8, he says, "See, I have opened up a door for you." And then watch this. "I know you are very weak." Right? And it's just like, oh my goodness, thank you, because I don't want to feel like I got to hide the obvious. "I know you are very weak, but you've remained faithful to me. And so when he opens up a door, the door is not a physical door. It's new opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
It's new relationships. Mm-hmm. It's a greater responsibility. It's more influence. And so that changes your trajectory immediately.
Yeah.
And all of that circles back around to being faithful. You can't be faithful if you're not praying.
Yeah.
And so I know that you're weak.
Mm-hmm.
But you've remained faithful. Mm-hmm. You've continued to put your mind's attention, your heart's affection on me and say those one sentence prayers. So watch what I'm about to do. I'm going to change your trajectory. I'm going to open up doors for you.
It's so good. I love the teaser. So where can people find your book?
Well, you can buy it anywhere books are sold right
okay.
now. Yeah, just, you know, you can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or whatever.
That's a, and it's out now, so people can go right
well,
now.
Well, right get now it? You can pre-order it.
Okay.
So you're the first you'll be the first person to get it.
When does it release?
It releases in January.
Perfect. January 2024.
I have a feeling it, you know, yeah, it and you can start your day, your off with it. You know, there's a reason why I aimed for 14 things because if you read one chapter a day, the first 2 weeks of the new year, you can launch the entire year with establishing the first 2 weeks of your year.
That's so good.
Knowing exactly what happens when you pray.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I love that. So January 2024, in case people are listening at
That's
another
right.
time.
That's right.
Amazon.
That's right.
And it's called?
Ignite Your Life, 14 Things That Happen When You Pray.
By Frankie Mazapika. Frankie, thank you so much.
This has been fun.
Yeah,
Micah.
This is awesome.
It's always fun hanging out with you guys, but this has been fun.
What if people want to find you personally? I know you have sermon series online and other resources. Where can they find you?
Well, if you go to Instagram or YouTube or go to my website, then you can find out more. You can follow. You know, in fact, it's interesting because on the YouTube channel, we got a whole bunch of testimonies of people who have been physically healed.
Amen.
So that's a lot.
Yeah, that's
a lot
fun.
Of fun. But to follow me on Instagram, it's pretty easy. You just type in my name. And so hopefully you guys will put my name in the description of this podcast.
Spelled because, like it sounds.
Right. It's spelled like it sounds. Mazapika.
We'll put it in the show notes as well.
There you know. Go. There you go. And so, yeah, you can find me on all those platforms.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your time. We loved having you. And as always, you are welcome anytime on the show.
It's so much fun. Thank you for having me.
You betcha. Thank you guys for listening. You can like, subscribe, and share with your friends if this podcast was impactful at all to you. You can also find us wherever podcasts are hosted. Please check out some of our other links, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode. If you were inspired by this content today, please share, rate, and leave a review. Also, please consider making a donation at elijahrising.org/donate. Your support helps us continue the vital mission to combat sex trafficking. Until next time.